Many families plan festivities year after year without ever asking themselves if that's what they really want to do, or without talking to one another about new ways to celebrate. Why? Because that's the way we've always done it. Get off of the holiday automatic pilot. Give some thought to the possibility of doing something different. Ask other people in your family what would have the most meaning for them. Ask yourself the same question. If everyone likes the celebrations the way they are, then leave things that way. If they would like to try something new, then be creative. If you have to see two sets of relatives in one day, for example, which can be too much for introverts, children as well as adults, divide up the visiting into 2 days. Or consider staying only 2 hours, instead of half a day, at each place. Alternatively, arrange for everybody to go on an outing together to some peaceful place. Instead of having the traditional Thanksgiving around a loaded dining room table, a friend of mine and her family took a picnic into a redwood forest, lounged on pine needles, and had a feast that included turkey sandwiches. Then they lay back and listen to the wind sway the tree branches. Maybe you'd like to start a new family tradition, like having an Easter egg hunt on a sandy beach, or serving meals at a homeless shelter. One of my clients invites a foreign college student from the local university to family holidays. Make holidays as enriching and as simple as you can. Eliminate things you can't or don't want to do. Holiday expectations can use up your battery juices quickly, so remember always to give yourself plenty of options. Phone phobia. On the questionnaires I sent out to introverts asking about their experience of introversion, so many people mentioned phone phobia that I decided to include it as a separate section in this chapter. Here's how most introverts view the phone. It's an interruption that drains energy and requires losing internal focus, which you have to gain again. It requires expending energy for on-the-feet thinking. It doesn't provide innies with hap hits. Introverts can have so many dips of energy during the day that they are not able to expend energy at the drop of a hat. If you, too, are phone-phobic, here are some suggestions. 1. Let your answering machine answer for you, and return the call only when you are ready to talk. My client Matt, a salesman, says he would be tapped out if he personally answered each call as it came in. So he has a phone call return period, and then he gives himself a reward, no phone for the rest of the day. 2. Keep phone calls short, unless it's someone you want to talk with in depth. Keep breathing as you talk, and if you have a cordless or cell phone, pace while you talk. To end the conversations, say something like, "I'd love to talk longer, but I need to make a couple more calls before my next client arrives. Bye." 3. Don't let people make you feel guilty about not picking up the phone, screening, as they call it. It's your prerogative. Don't feel embarrassed about telephone tagging. You call and leave a message, the other person calls and leaves a message. I notice that people who make cracks about tagging are often hard to reach, but they want you to be available when they call. 4. Don't beat yourself up because you don't like the phone. It's not a character defect. It helps to understand why you don't like it. 5. Use email as much as you can. My very last word on socializing, I promise. One thing everybody in the world wants and needs is friendliness. William E. Holler. Studies have shown that introverts often have trouble multitasking in social situations. This means that they are so focused on regulating their antsy feeling and expending energy acting with others that they often do not realize how other people react to them. For example, Introverts often don't pick up on the fact that other people like them, and so the relating doesn't seem as enjoyable. In other words, they may not notice social signals that someone is responding to them in a positive way by smiling, leaning toward them, and seeking them out. Extroverts, by contrast, generally get this right away. The researchers describe this as a difficulty in decoding social cues. This often happens when introverts leave an event. They wonder if it was worth it, and they don't have the enjoyment of feeling secure that people liked them. So the next time you leave a convivial gathering, just remind yourself that lots of folks enjoyed your company. In fact, I have found that most introverted people are appreciated at social gatherings. After all, those extroverts need good listeners. Points to ponder. Socializing is an energy drainer. Conserve energy before social events. Plan how to enter and exit social occasions and how to start up a conversation. Give yourself permission to socialize as an introvert. Strategize carefully. By doing so, you can enjoy many social events. Take breaks and regulate your stimulation. It's okay. Chapter 7. Working. Hazards from 9 to 5. While my work has been before me, my reward has always been within. Shaker saying. The workplace can be filled with many possible pitfalls for introverts. Most require many skills outside of their comfort zones. That's why introverts often work alone, at home, or in a job where they have flexibility. But because not all introverts can arrange a work setting that is a perfect natural niche, it is crucial for them to understand how to avoid the potential dangers of a 9-to-5 schedule. A few years ago, a local company hired me to talk to two of its employees who were constantly having misunderstandings with each other. The hope was that I'd be able to help Jack, the extroverted manager, and Carl, his introverted employee, resolve their differences. I talked to Carl first. He said, "Jack bombards me with questions. I want to tell him, stop, slow down, give me a minute. He doesn't let me think things over. He doesn't listen to my ideas. He just talks a lot and then decides to do things his way. I end up with my head pounding and my stomach in a knot. I'm starting to have trouble sleeping at night." Then I spoke with Jack. He said, "I'm ready to pull my hair out. Carl is so withdrawn. He hides out in his office. He clams up at meetings and contributes nothing. I don't think he's a team player." It was obvious to me right away that the reason these two men kept butting heads was because one was an extrovert and the other was an introvert. Because neither one of them understood the other, they ended up blaming each other. It hardly made for a productive work environment. In their book, Type Talk at Work, Otto Kroger and Janet Thiessen discuss the differences between introverts and extroverts on the job, saying, "Unlike extroverts, who wear their personalities on their sleeves, introverts often keep their best to themselves. With extroverts, you see what you get. With introverts, what you see is only a portion of their personality. The richest and most trusted parts of an introvert's personality are not necessarily shared with the outside world. It takes time, trust, and special circumstances for them to begin to open up." Why do extroverts get all the good press? A modest man is usually admired, if people ever hear of him. Ed Howe. It's easy to see why introverts, plugging away at their desks, may not appear as on the ball as extroverts. Jane, an introverted editor, told me, "I always see the same surprised look on people's faces when I finally open up to them. They are shocked at how much I know about my subject area. Just because I'm quiet doesn't mean I'm not informed. Extroverts get out from behind their desks and meet and greet folks. They like to keep their ear to the company grapevine and socialize with coworkers after work or on weekends. They are often cordial and expressive. They like to talk about their accomplishments, and they don't mind being in the spotlight. In fact, they may want to be in the glare. In meetings, they throw out ideas. They speak well in front of groups, and they like to chat on the phone. They like to be involved, and they can be seen darting from place to place looking busy and important. They make quick decisions, are active brainstormers, and a little tongue-fooing doesn't bother them. In fact, they might think it's fun to argue. They are natural self-promoters and networkers. They are their own best press agents. A different light. Extroverts are like lighthouses, focusing their beacon outward toward the world. Introverts are more like lanterns, radiating a glow inside themselves. The differences in how they focus their flame or energy and where they direct their attention can create difficulty in almost everything they do. But as Carl's example shows, it can be especially problematic at work. Carl, like so many introverts in the workplace, had a case of what I call hiding your light under a bushel syndrome. Jack, like so many extroverts in the workplace, misinterpreted Carl's style, didn't see him as a team player, and failed to appreciate Carl's considerable talents and skills. And Carl, because of his introverted nature, didn't realize that Jack couldn't see his contributions. This is a common example of mutual misunderstanding. Later in the chapter, I will come back to how Carl and Jack resolved their differences. Although your light shines differently than that of extroverts, you can influence how you are perceived in the workplace. In the first section of this chapter, Hiding Your Light Under a Bushel, I will discuss how you can shine your light at meetings, blow your own horn, softly, and protect your pace. In the second section, Co-creating, I will suggest ways you can sharpen your verbal skills so those silver-tongued extroverts will hear you. And in the third section, De-stressing your day, I will address the four most common areas of pressure for innies and how to manage them. The final section, Business with Bosses, is a word about innie bosses. Some of these topics pertain not only to work, but also to other areas of your life. Keep in mind that it is important to let your colleagues and bosses know exactly how valuable you are. Hiding your light under a bushel. Never desert your own line of talent. Be what nature intended you for, and you will succeed. Sydney Smith. Introverts are often surprised when they are not valued for their considerable contributions. And if they have had the experience of being unseen or overlooked repeatedly, they may resent it. Still, they are puzzled about why it happens. The work environment, like the social arena, requires abilities that go against the natural grain of introverts. Their brain physiology predisposes them to act in ways that can contribute to their being ignored. Let's look at three of the biggest sources of difficulty: reluctance to speak up in meetings, failing to blow their own horn, and working at a slow pace, and see why each of these areas are problems and how they can be ameliorated. Why don't innies speak up in meetings? One reason is that when innies are in large groups, they usually find it hard to both absorb all the new information and formulate an opinion about it. They need time away from the meeting to sift and sort the data. Next, they need to retrieve and then add their own thoughts and feelings. In privacy, they can blend the components together and condense them into original ideas and suggestions. But it takes time. Remember that long neural pathway in their brains? It's like making wine or baking bread. It isn't a process that can be rushed. The second reason is that innies must expend extra energy to attend to what is being said in the meeting. For them, focusing on the outside world is like driving an SUV. It's a gas guzzler. There is little left over for speaking. Drawing attention to themselves by speaking up truly depletes them. If they do speak, it may be in a low voice, without eye contact, and in a halting way. Co-workers may not pay attention, or may not think they sound knowledgeable. Third, speaking up often increases the tension innies may feel from being in a group situation. This makes it hard to be articulate. Introverts don't usually talk easily unless they are relaxed and comfortable. If the group has conflict or becomes overstimulating for some other reason, they can become even more brain-locked. They search for words they can't find. After this has happened a few times, they anticipate that awful, anxious feeling and become reluctant to speak up. Fourth, introverts often do so much thinking ahead of time that when they add a comment in a meeting, it can be out of sync with what's happening at the moment. Or, because of their different thinking style, they may state the middle of their idea or just the final thought. After they realize that what they have said doesn't fit with the timing of the group or is a little confusing to people, they often conclude that they don't express themselves well and may stop talking altogether. How to let coworkers know you are participating at meetings. Relax before meetings by deep breathing for 5 minutes in a quiet, private place. Try not to schedule too many meetings the same day. Take breaks between them. Say hello to and smile at others in the room as you enter. Say goodbye as you leave. Find a strategic location to sit, near the door for a quick break, when you arrive. Take notes. This helps you focus on your thoughts and reduce overload from the outside. Use nonverbal signals like nods, eye contact, and smiles to let others know you are paying attention. Say something, ask a question, restate what someone else said. Get people's attention by giving an opening phrase in a firm voice. I'd like to add something, or my thought is. Give your thoughts a beginning, middle, and end. Say, I want to add something to what you mentioned a few minutes ago, Stan, if you know your thought is out of sync. Let people know you will continue to think about the topic. For instance, I'll give this some thought and let you know my reactions. Thank presenters, speakers, or department heads at the end of the meetings. Congratulate yourself if you speak, no matter what happens. Email, jot a note, or send a memo with your comments the next day. Ask for feedback about your ideas. For instance, what do you think? If I tell you, I'll have to kill you. If you don't place your foot on the rope, you'll never cross that chasm. Liz Smith. My client Samantha is quite reticent, and I usually need to ask her, "Can you say more about that?" One day I said to her playfully, "Are you working for the CIA today and you can't disclose anything personal to me?" She looked at me with a twinkle in her eye and said, "If I tell you, I'll have to kill you." We laughed. We both understood how exposed and overstimulated she felt most of the time, even with her own therapist. Imagine how difficult it must be to reveal any part of herself to a coworker. Why don't innies disclose more or promote themselves? As I mentioned in an earlier chapter, introverts are territorial. They like their own protected space. One way they keep it private is by guarding what they show the world, thereby reducing outgoing energy and limiting what the world directs toward them. Another reason introverts may not share their knowledge is because often they don't realize all they know. They take their rich emotional, intellectual, and imaginative life for granted. Unless a particular topic happens to come up with a friend, innies may not realize that they are a wealth of information on, for instance, sailing. Or they may know they are interested in an arcane subject, like how pandas breed, but they think no one else will be. At the same time, introverts often feel they don't have to let other people in on what they are up to, at work in particular, because if they were the boss, they would notice how much time and effort they were putting in. Innies don't realize that extroverted people don't pay attention to the same behaviors in the same way they do. Extroverts need to be told in more detail what introverts are doing at work, because otherwise they may not think anything is happening. The last reason innies don't expose their internal selves is because they aren't looking for outside approval. Though they want to be appreciated for their achievements, getting public attention can be painful and/or uncomfortable, like hearing fingernails scratch on a blackboard, squirmy and shrill. All of these factors can add up to innies appearing remote, uncooperative, or, in the worst-case scenario, expendable. How to blow your own horn without feeling overexposed. Remind yourself that if you share personal information with a colleague, you always have the right to end a chat or dodge a personal question. Let your boss know what type of work, projects, and tasks are interesting to you. Initiate a meeting yourself, selecting time, place, length, agenda, and participants if you are working on a group project. Write a short article for the company newsletter about an interest of yours. Tell your boss about one of your successes. For instance, "I licked that last problem. I'll get the report to you tomorrow." Share personal information with colleagues in an easy, relaxed way. For example, chat about your hobby while waiting to use the copier or fax machine. Learn to accept a compliment. Say, "Thank you," or, "I appreciate your telling me that." This encourages folks to acknowledge you and feel good about it. Give other workers compliments and acknowledgement. Volunteer to help at the company picnic, or to collect money for flowers for an ill coworker. Others will see you as a team player. Measure twice, cut once. Introverts generally move at a slower pace than extroverts. This is another reason they can appear aloof or uninterested. They need to expend energy reserves in small amounts, measuring out their energy in predictable increments. Otherwise, their tank will end up on empty, and they will feel exhausted and burned out. They want time to think things through and to keep assessing the work as it unfolds. In an intense environment, extroverts may assume that because introverts are slower paced, they aren't as sharp, involved, or competent. Because introverts tend to speak slowly, with long pauses, they can appear hesitant and uncertain of their opinion. Actually, they give deep thought to their ideas. And since they value meaning, they want to be precise and select just the right words to express them. But this can drive extroverts nuts. Spit it out, they think. In addition, introverts are willing to consider the value in another person's opinion. But what is actually openness can be misread as a lack of conviction in their own opinion. As I mentioned earlier, innies often don't bother to tell other people about their thinking process. Predictably, this leads to a lot of misunderstandings. How to let coworkers know that, although your pace is slow, you usually win the race. Have a sense of humor about your pacing. Do tough assignments early in the day, Don't let them hang over you, wasting energy. Don't get flustered if something unexpected comes up. Take a few deep breaths before you proceed and remind yourself that you can go back to working at your own speed after the crisis is over. Express your emotional reactions occasionally. For instance, Aaron, I was excited to see your ideas. They're great. Tell colleagues that when you are silent, you are reflecting. For instance, that's a good point. I'm giving it some thought. Don't let yourself be insulted if the group walks ahead of you. Ask them to save you a seat. Prepare a few comments. Write them down when you know a specific topic will come up, so you can make a few quick remarks. Let people know you are concerned with their project. For instance, I've been thinking about your assignment, Bill, and I had a couple of ideas. If you like, I could email them to you. Negotiate deadlines by explaining to your boss why you need the time. Ask others for feedback about your contributions. Travel time. Use your commuting time to nourish yourself with positive thoughts. Remind yourself of what you accomplished that day. Congratulate yourself for any healthy habits you practiced. Remember pleasant conversations and compliments you received. Recall any new ideas you came up with. Why you should shine your light. You are an excellent employee, and it is important that you not forget your own contributions. Remind yourself every day of what you bring to the party. Concentration, loyalty, thoughtfulness, persistence, tough-mindedness, creativity, originality, foresight, and a wide range of knowledge, to name just a few introverted advantages. Introverts are often the employees who go about their day quietly improving the workplace. They have the ability to both make difficult decisions and give coworkers space. They develop lasting one-on-one relationships and work well without close supervision. Innies tend to be considerate and want cooperation. They are good listeners and good teachers. Every day, shine a little positive light in your own direction. Co-creating. One man interacting creatively with others can move the world. John Gardner. Talking makes the work go round. Different communication styles make for a rich and innovative work environment. I will now discuss five areas in which co-creating allows us to blend our styles to produce results no individual could achieve alone. Successful companies grow and sustain themselves when employees have mastered nonverbal communication, have strong conflict resolution skills, and have the ability to argue, brainstorm, and ask directly for what they want. Enhancing communication skills in these areas creates a workplace culture in which everyone can thrive. Dialoguing dilemmas. All workplaces are strengthened or weakened by the ways in which people communicate with one another. Nothing brings into sharp focus the differences between introverts and extroverts faster than their communication styles, nor, as we have said, presents a greater potential for misunderstanding. Every form of communication requires energy. Verbal communication involves how we speak, what we pay attention to, what we hear, and how we respond. As we have heard, speaking is often problematic for introverts, since it requires a full tank of fuel. Introverts need to have good reserves before they speak, because the actual talking and searching for words to respond to another person's remarks quickly deplete their tank. In fact, studies show that more than half of what we reveal about ourselves, whether we are friendly or unfriendly, cooperative or aloof, for example, is not conveyed by our words. It is conveyed by our body language, smiling, frowning, sighing, touching, drumming our fingers, making eye contact, etc. Communication with your colleagues in writing or by email is another way to express your ideas and let yourself be known. Because these meta-communications, as they are called, burn less fuel, they are the best ways for introverts to improve their communications at work. You can strut your stuff, but in a stealth mode. You can let coworkers know more about you and reserve most of your energy for only the most necessary conversations. How to talk less and communicate more. Smile when you greet a coworker or boss. Nod and keep eye contact with the speaker in meetings and groups. Lean toward the speaker to show interest in what he or she is saying. Acknowledge physical space differences. For example, you might say, "Let's keep the chair empty between us so we can both spread out a little." Say hello and goodbye to fellow employees. Seems so obvious, but sometimes we forget. Send thank you notes, email, or electronic cards to coworkers to congratulate them on an accomplishment or to tell them you appreciate something they did. Copy an article you think would interest a colleague or boss and give it to the person with a note from you. Give out birthday cards or holiday cards if this is appropriate in your work setting. Put your name on everything you write or produce. How to resolve conflicts productively. Conflicts arise anytime there are opposing needs. While some people, usually extroverts, thrive on seeing the sparks fly, other people, usually introverts, are conflict adverse. They'll do anything rather than face a fight. Conflicts use up their energy, and they go out of their way to avoid them. But ignoring them is generally a mistake. For one thing, the conflict doesn't disappear. For another, innies feel the unresolved stress in their bodies, literally. They experience headaches, stomach aches, and a general feeling of malaise. Since conflicts can easily escalate, it is always a good idea to learn to deal with them early on. You will end up feeling more confident. Practice these steps so you can take them when needed. Steps to resolving conflicts. 1. Define and agree on the problem. 2. Understand how your introversion and the other person's extroversion affects the problem. 3. Try to see it from your coworker's perspective. 4. Problem solve with an innie-outie perspective in mind. So, how did the two fellows I mentioned at the beginning of the chapter, Carl and Jack, resolve their disagreement? What steps could they take to bridge their difficult communication gaps? Following the plan I just outlined, I recommended that Jack and Carl first define the contentious areas and agree on what they were disagreeing about. Jack and Carl explained that they always misunderstood each other. Second, we discussed their different introvert-extrovert styles, not right or wrong, but different, and how these affected their communication. Third, I suggested that they step into each other's shoes. Did Carl realize how frustrating it was for Jack to want his opinion and think that Carl withheld it? Did Jack understand how much pressure Carl felt in meetings and how this made it hard for him to speak? Fourth, I asked them to problem solve without taking each other's behavior personally. The result was that Carl saw he needed to be as far from the hectic pace of the office as possible. So he asked for and received from Jack a workspace away from the action. Jack, understanding that Carl does not like coming up with quick answers, agreed to give Carl the agenda for the meetings a day before. This way, Carl could develop his good ideas without pressure and with plenty of time to weigh his thoughts. Jack decided to give Carl some long, boring projects that he himself hated and never thought anyone else would like. Carl realized he needed to let Jack know more about his talents, which would secure him a solid place on the company team. Sometimes it's not possible to resolve problems directly with coworkers. Danielle, an introverted patient of mine, found herself in a similar situation. It started when she was asked to share a cubicle with a very talkative, extroverted coworker, Ina. Spending all day with Ina, who chatted endlessly to herself, to people on the phone, to anyone who happened by, made Danielle a nervous wreck. What's more, it was interfering with her ability to concentrate on her work. But when she talked to her boss about moving into a different cubicle, he said no. The reason? He was hoping Danielle's quiet demeanor and good work habits would rub off on Ina. Danielle didn't know what to do. She didn't want to lock horns with Ina, especially since she was stuck in a small cubicle with her. She told me, "I feel helpless." Danielle had to find solutions on her own. She knew Ina couldn't change her chatty Kathy personality, especially since the boss had already talked to Ina about it. Danielle and I brainstormed and came up with several ways she could improve the situation without quitting or going nutty. Danielle told Ina she worked better when she had quiet, park-like surroundings. So she separated the cubicle down the middle with a row of leafy green plants. It looked outdoorsy and was not so obvious as a rejection of Ina. Danielle took headphones to work and played soft music so she wouldn't hear Ina talking to herself. We decided she would talk to Ina occasionally, but only if Ina spoke to her directly. If she talked into the air, Danielle wouldn't answer. If Danielle needed to concentrate, she could use earplugs or ask Ina if she would refrain from talking for a specified period of time. Danielle now feels less drained, and she and Ina are getting along fine. Instead of avoiding conflicts, try to resolve them creatively. You may be surprised at how much you can improve both your work life and your work-based relationships. Verbal jousting. Researchers have found that introverts and extroverts do not argue in the same way. Extroverts often argue in a win-lose style. They emphasize being right. Sometimes this leaves the other person, often the introvert, feeling wrong. Many introverts argue in a win-win style. They want each person's ideas to be heard. In general, introverts tend to question more and criticize less. They are less invested in their own perspective, and they tend to consider all points of view valid. It can be quite an energy drain to verbally joust with extroverts at work. Remember not to take the extrovert's more aggressive style personally. Here are some additional tips to help you sharpen your skills. Stay calm and breathe. Think ahead about possible objections to your arguments. State them, as well as your response to them, in your presentation. Include the possible objections before others raise them. Listen carefully if someone raises an unanticipated objection. Restate the objection and ask if you have given an accurate summation. This will give you some time to think. Compliment the person in a general way if the objection is valid. For instance, "You're right. We need to figure out a way to address that angle." Ask, "How do you think we can come to a workable solution?" if objections continue. Remember, you have valuable ideas and the right to disagree. Brain flashes. Coming up with a slew of ideas is the goal of brainstorming. Not good ideas or bad ideas, just lots of ideas. Your bolts of lightning can knock things out of the box, lead you to innovation, and help you remain competitive in today's changing marketplace. Extroverts brainstorm naturally because they get energized by letting the juices flow and have no difficulty talking and thinking at the same time. On the other hand, in order to be free and frivolous, introverts need to feel safe and accepted. Since their ideas tend to be more out of the box, they need assurance that they won't be criticized. It may be helpful for them just to listen while others generate the flashes of lightning, and then bring back their ideas the next day. This gives their nighttime munching or reflective minds time to digest and generate something new-fashioned. If you are in charge of brainstorming, here are some steps you can take to ensure a productive environment. Initial session. Explain that a problem or concept will be tossed into the ring and that anyone can throw out any idea or association. Explain that some people will just listen and return their input the next day. Write down all the ideas and associations. Make it clear that all ideas are okay. None is right or wrong. Say absolutely no criticism is allowed. Say you will accept follow-up emails. Second session. Group the ideas and associations into themes. Prioritize the themes according to your company's goals. Discuss the results. Choose the top three solutions. Select alternatives. Ask for what you want. If you are an INE employee, there are times when you need to ask your boss for what you want. Many introverts have trouble doing this. Asking for something not only puts them in the spotlight, which they are naturally averse to, but is also an energy drain. Many fear they will go blank and forget what they want to say. Or they are afraid they will not be able to think on their feet in a meeting. If this is a problem for you, try one of the following strategies. 1. Write out what you want to ask for. Be specific. 2. Anticipate your boss's possible objections and write them down. Jot down your rebuttals. 3. Practice your talk in front of your mirror or with a partner or friend. Introverts generally do better if they rehearse before they talk about something anxiety-producing. 4. Congratulate yourself for asking what you want, no matter the outcome. If you don't succeed, remember you can always come back and talk about the request again. See if you can rethink your approach and come up with more ways to counter your boss's concerns. What every extroverted employee should know about introverts. When extroverts, the majority, tangle with introverts, the minority, in the workplace, both sides need to be educated about what the other is like. Introverts like quiet for concentration, care about their work and workplace, may have trouble communicating, may know more than they reveal, may seem quiet and aloof, need to be asked for their opinions and ideas, they won't simply supply them, like to work on long, complex problems and have good attention to detail, need to understand exactly why they are doing something, dislike intrusions and interruptions. Need to think and reflect before speaking and acting. Work alone contentedly. May be reluctant to delegate. Prefer to stay in the office or cubicle rather than socialize. Do not like to draw attention to themselves. Work well with little supervision. May have trouble remembering names and faces. What every introverted employee should know about extroverts. Just as extroverts need to be educated about introverts, introverts would do well to remember the following about extroverts. Extroverts network well and socialize with coworkers. Keep track of the company grapevine. respond quickly to requests, and spring into action without much advance thinking. Enjoy phone calls and see interruptions as a welcome diversion. Become impatient and bored when the work is slow or repetitive. Develop ideas through interaction and discussion. Are good at marketing themselves. Like to physically move around a lot. Prefer to be out and about. Speak while they are thinking. Have excellent verbal skills. Enjoy verbal jousting. Ask many questions. Like to be part of the majority opinion and feel isolated without management support. Appreciate and enjoy attention. Are attracted to other extroverts. Bridging any outie communication gaps. Best bets for communicating with innies. Talk about one topic at a time. Ask, then listen. Give each person adequate time for a response. Don't finish anyone's sentences. Communicate in writing if possible. Best bets for communicating with outies. Communicate orally. Let them talk and think out loud. Include a variety of topics. Expect immediate action. Keep the conversation moving. Presenting yourself. At some point, almost all of us, like it or not, find ourselves having to address a group. Here are some tips to help make the best of it. Accept speakers' anxiety. It happens to everyone. Analyze your audience and direct your talk to them. Know your topic. Practice until you feel comfortable. In the week before your presentation, visualize yourself feeling confident. Visualize an attentive audience. Find a few friendly faces when presenting and look at them. Speak a bit louder than you normally do. Use your natural humor. Remember that every presentation doesn't need to be perfect. Congratulate yourself when it's over. De-stressing your day. I have found that there are four elements of the workplace that are especially problematic for innies. The first is the dreaded deadline. Following are strategies for handling deadlines without losing your cool. The second is interruptions. With just a few tips, you can manage those extroverts popping in and asking you just one quick question. Third, if you worry about remembering names and faces, there are some techniques to plant them firmly in your memory. And finally, as an innie, you will occasionally feel overwhelmed at work. So I have included a 5-step plan to reduce that awful fried feeling when it attacks you. 5 strategies to handle deadlines. As I discussed earlier, innies often have trouble with deadlines. They worry about generating enough energy to complete the project and think about what they are doing without feeling overwhelmed. They may need to explain to their boss why they need extra time for completing work. Sudden deadlines are the most problematic. These can feel like sudden death, a term from the sports world, used when teams are tied and one side must score first in order to win. If you work with an innie boss, deadlines may be an easier subject to discuss. Try to get him or her to be flexible. Say you realize deadlines can't always be roomy, but that the more advance warning you have, the better your work will be. Whenever the deadline is, start by breaking the task down into bite-sized pieces. This is the most useful approach for introverts. It helps you decrease feelings of anxiety, fuzzy-headedness, and helplessness. 1. Write your deadline down on your calendar. Then divide your task into small sections. Figure out what you need to do by when to complete the project on time. 2. Write on your calendar what you need to accomplish each day. Set aside specific times for the project in your peak energy hours. For example, I write from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. every morning except Sunday. 3. Leave room in the schedule for unexpected work and interruptions. 4. Don't criticize yourself if you don't accomplish everything you planned on any given day. Just redivide the work into larger sections over the next few days and keep at it. 5. Always give yourself a reward for what you do. Buy a new book, see a movie, eat a cookie, play a video game. How to avoid just a quick question and other interruptions. Unless an introvert is expecting the interruption, or his or her energy tank is full to the brim, interruptions are very disruptive for introverts. They feel annoyed, often without knowing why. Extroverts, on the other hand, move easily from one thing to another. They thrive on unexpected breaks in their schedules. And they simply cannot understand why you don't love it when they pop by your desk, hold up their finger, and say, "Just a quick question." There are physiological reasons why interruptions are difficult for many introverts. First, you may be deep in thought, and it is hard to come up out of concentrating to interact on another topic, a process that extroverts often experience as unresponsiveness. It may take a minute or two for you to break concentration, so you may feel confused or may not even immediately register what the quick-talking extrovert is saying to you. You have to grasp the new topic. It takes energy to switch gears. After the interruption, you use more energy to regain your previous place and concentration. Sometimes you can't find your exact place for days. I have clients who are a couple and who are partners in a law firm. Zoe is introverted and Ethan is extroverted. If she is writing a brief, she gets anxious and irritated when someone, even Ethan, opens her closed door. Ethan likes to drop into her office and ask her this and that, and feels angry at her remoteness. I explain to them why each views the interruption in different ways. After I explained why, Ethan said, "It sounds strange to me. I feel energized by quick chats." Zoe became animated and said to him, "You don't understand how exciting it is for me to realize there's a reason interruptions irritated me so. I have never understood why I hated them." Here are some strategies that may help you to reduce or deflect intrusions and interruptions. Put a clock sign on your door, giving the time when you will next be available. Create your own "Do Not Disturb" sign. Try to infuse it with humor. For example, add a cartoon or an image, like the statue The Thinker. Cover the chairs in your office with papers, or go a step further and remove the extra chairs from your office. Say, "I can't see you now, but I'll be free at 10 o'clock. Can you come back then?" Cut a meeting short by standing up and gradually moving toward the door. Say, "Sorry, I have a deadline and I need to get back to work." Set a time limit for every conversation. For instance, "Let's talk Thursday for 15 minutes. Is that enough time?" Head off unexpected visitors by walking to the door of your cubicle or office and say that you were just on your way to another meeting or to the restroom. Say, "We can chat on the way." Keep nodding, but stop talking and occasionally look away or at your watch if you need to make a getaway. Find a hideout to think, the bathroom or a quiet corner in the employee's lounge or dining room, when all else fails. 4. Memory joggers. "When I was younger, I could remember anything, whether it happened or not." Mark Twain. Marta told me how embarrassed she was when she was introduced to a new customer and then only a few minutes later couldn't remember the person's name. She said, "I felt like sliding under the table." Studies show that many introverts have trouble with face and name recognition. In fact, some researchers theorize that the difficulty of recognizing familiar names and faces adds to introverts' anxiety about social and work encounters. If either of these problems applies to you, here are some techniques that may help to implant a name or face in your memory. 1. Look for an unusual feature, a scar or mole, lip shape, comb-over hair, glasses, or hair color. 2. Translate the person's name into a vivid image. For example, Carla reminds me of a red sports car. Glenda reminds me of a mossy glen in England. 3. Repeat the name as you say hello. "Hi, Carla." 4. Look back at the person a few times as you move around the room. In your mind, put together the name with the associations you have made. If you do forget a name or face, give yourself a break. Everybody draws a blank now and then. A 5-step plan to reduce overwhelm. When we are overstimulated and overwhelmed, we can't think, we can't be creative, and we aren't very productive. It is vital to learn ways to calm yourself down. Step 1. Figure out what's going on in your body. The first step toward relaxing, reducing overwhelm, is to try to tease apart your mind from your body. I know this is easier said than done, but you can learn to do it. As a psychotherapist, if one of my clients comes in feeling overwhelmed, I always start out by asking the person, let's call her Cassandra, to get comfortable in the glider chair. Then I ask her to describe how she is feeling physically. I'll say, "Tell me what's happening in your body, Cassandra." If she has trouble answering the question, I ask, "How do your arms feel? Are your hands tingling or numb? Are they tense? Do they feel heavy? Wiggle your shoulders. Do they feel constricted?" Usually these questions prime the pump, and the client begins to describe anxiety, tingling, tension, and urge to move, or depression, heavy, tired, logy, sluggish, in her body. The more you can articulate to yourself or someone else what is happening in your body, the more you can learn how to help yourself. Step 2. Breathe and have a drink of water. The second step is to take in some oxygen. Pay attention to breathing. Most people hold their breath when they are in an overstimulated condition. So take a tummy breath and blow it out. After your breathing becomes deeper, tense the muscles of your body and hold for 1 minute. Notice the difference between feeling more relaxed and feeling tense. Drink a glass of ice water. Studies show that even mild dehydration affects concentration, thinking, metabolism, and the flow of neurotransmitters. In his book, High Energy Living, Dr. Robert Cooper says that water stimulates increased energy production throughout your body and increases alertness in your brain and senses. Step 3. Notice what you're saying to yourself in your head. The third step to reduce feeling overwhelmed is to notice what is going on in your mind. When we feel certain bodily sensations, we assign meanings to them. We don't even know this is happening. We start this process when we are children, so by the time we are adults, it is on automatic pilot. It goes like this. Your tummy tightens. Your unconscious response is one of fear. Fear means danger. Danger means something bad is going to happen. What happens next is usually conscious. A voice in your head says, I can't do it, I'm going to fail. This voice heightens your original fear, and you feel paralyzed. Remember in Chapter 3 when I talked about how introverts have a mechanism in their brain that reduces stimulation when they are overwhelmed? Clients will say to me in a panicked